is, if you'll come forward, present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. The issue before you in SB 932 is clearly not a new one to this committee or to this legislature, though I did just want to point out that since we raised it for the first time last year, it has only continued to garner more and more media attention and public concern and debate. I'm referring to a couple of San Francisco Chronicle editorials in the past 2 weeks. Sacramento should take up cell phone safety, cell phone industry jams, disclosure law. New York Times, Sunday Magazine a few weeks ago, do cell phones cause brain cancer? On and on and on. And many books are now being written. One of great importance is Deborah Davis's. I just point this out for the context in which we're back. What I don't wish the committee to have to deal with, because we did that last year, is any kind of competing science data for the following reasons. What can be stated with regard to cell phones and radio frequency energy, that which is not debatable, is that cell phones do emit radio frequency energy when they are communicating with a cell phone tower. As a result of that, and out of concern for potential health care consequences, the FCC, as we know, has set a limit as to the amount of radio frequency energy that can be emitted by these phones and still be legally sold in this country. So the federal government has already spoken on that as well. Additionally, out of concern that users of cell phones might experience amounts of radio frequency energy exceeding the federal regulations and guidelines, the cell phone manufacturers themselves have included within their user manuals proper cell phone use so that one does not experience radio frequency energy that exceeds the federal guidelines. So with those statements made, and I believe they are not really debatable, they're all just fact, we have brought a bill forward. Now, so that the bill itself will be equally non-controversial and undebatable, I would like to introduce an amendment from the start so that it can really preempt a lot of unnecessary debate back and forth, and so that the committee can focus on the issue of disclosure, not on battling sciences. So whereas the original bill had three sentences to it, the first being, this device emits radio frequency energy, I think we can all agree to that. The second line in the bill as printed says, do not hold or carry it directly against the body when connected to a network, or you may be exposed to levels greater than the safety limit established by the Federal Communications Commission. I am prepared with the committee's support to eliminate that second sentence. The only remaining part of the disclosure notice would be the third sentence, which reads, consult the user's manual for additional information on safety. So the entirety of the disclosure in the bill, as amended, would be, this device emits radio frequency energy. Consult the user's manual for additional information on safety. Additional to that, I would take, as an author's amendment, the recommended amendment in the committee analysis, comment 11 on page 6, which would clarify that the bill's retail-related provisions apply to retailers in California, and I thank the committee analysis for that suggestion. So again, I don't want to get into a debate on sciences. Now, you might also hear in oppositional arguments that, well, this information is already in the user's manual. Why do we need to do any more? I think the sergeants have passed out this page, which is an example of cell phone manufacturer safety guidelines. If you could have a look at it. The type is such that I don't believe there's a human being who could read it without a magnifying glass. It is that small. And is on, in this case, on page 27 of the user's manual, sometimes it's on page 88 of the user's manual, sometimes it's on page 127. And it also varies from cell phone to cell phone. So again, just making the blanket, undebatable statement that the device emits radio frequency energy and that it's a user should consult the manual for additional information on safe use seems to be a more than reasonable statement for safe user application for what is now probably the fastest growing consumer product on the planet. And again, I am here as a proud and very confirmed user of cell phones. I do carry one in each pocket, of course, as many of us do. One is a state, one is private. But how this has impacted my use as a cell phone consumer has been dramatic, but I probably use them only more than I did a couple of years ago because the technology keeps improving and they're such extraordinarily ineffective devices. But when I do have them next to my body, I turn them off. When I use it, I use the speakerphone module, so I'm not putting it close to my body, brain, or body. I text as often as I can. And then there's also the issue of specific absorption rate, which I don't even need to get into because that's really not a part of this bill whatsoever. But those were the recommendations that had been posted by the FCC for a while. And in fact, we also have a page of all of the different manufacturers' recommendations. I'll just share a few of them with you. The Palm Pixie says to ensure compliance with radio frequency exposure guidelines, the phone must be used with a minimum of 1.5 centimeters separation from the body. Failure to observe these instructions could result in your radio frequency exposure exceeding the relevant guideline limits. Samsung says that for body-worn operation, this phone has been tested and meets FCC radio frequency exposure guidelines when used with an accessory. The Sanyo Katana says if you do not use a body-worn accessory, ensure the antenna is at least 2.2 centimeters from your body when transmitting. All of them, without exception, has these recommendations. They do vary from phone to phone. Again, reason for having this very generic and straightforward disclosure at point of purchase and on the packaging one way or the other. So again, I will only use my clothes if I need to rebut some of the undetermined science by any oppositional voice, but otherwise I want to thank the Environmental Working Group, which has been our sponsor over these past couple of years and has done great consumer protection work in reviewing the thousands of pages on websites throughout the industry so that we can address this issue as succinctly as we are in committee today. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Senator. Let me do this. Before we get to your witnesses, I think Senator Lowenthal has a question. Senator Lowenthal, am I reading your...
Yes.
And then we're going to go to your two witnesses, and I gather you have two principal witnesses. Is that correct, Senator?
That's correct.
I think what I'd like to do is, I'm recalling last year's conversation, I think limiting you to 2 minutes is going to be a little difficult. So why don't we give you about 3 minutes, and, you know, I know you'll go wild with that extra 1 minute, but I do think we ought to try it. No, it's a serious conversation. Same, of course, for industry opponents. A couple of principal witnesses, but a little more time so we can have the both the advocates and the opponents lay out their case, and then I'm sure there'll be questions from members of the committee. And there already are from Senator Lowenthal. Senator Lowenthal, before we go to witnesses,
yeah,
please.
Before, I just want to ask Dave, maybe in... I think that with the amendments, this makes it easier for me to be supportive of where you're going. The question that remains, or that I'd like to understand more, is now that you're saying the device emits radio frequency energy and consult the user's manual for additional information on safe use, and that's going to be where it's presented. Can you explain to us why that, since it's shorter and more clear, why can't that just be prominently displayed now on, since it's not a paragraph, it's really just two sentences right there, why that can't be just displayed on the actual packaging, and why we need to impact also the retailers as well as, I can understand when it's long, it really needs to be presented. I would just like some understanding of now that you've made it more concise about what is emitted and consult the user's guide, why that needs also now to have us. And I don't have an opinion, I just want to understand.
Given the simplicity of the statement,
compared with the variety of statements that would have been necessary at point of purchase with our old bill, because the SER varied from phone to phone to phone. This is one simple statement.
Right.
Not everyone opens a package before they buy a phone, and this would just be a disclosure prior to purchase at the point of purchase.
Well, which I don't have a problem with. I'm just saying why they may not open the package, but they'll see the package. If it's right on the package, prominently displayed, in why we need to have additional. I just don't understand it, because we've made it short. Now if you get everybody gets that package, they will see right on what the additional information is. Especially since everybody buys it on the net anyway.
But there could be a variety of answers to your question, Senator. One that comes to my mind is that if it's on the package, which is inside a box, not every consumer is going to open a box and look at the packaging before purchase. And it could indeed, with it just prominently displayed somewhere in the retail area, allow for any kind of conversation that could be of benefit to consumers at that time with the interaction with the salesperson. And so I think there's value just in that. There are those who could argue, well, if you have it at the point of purchase for the retailer, why do you need it on the packaging? You know, it can go both ways. We think there's benefit to it, both on the packaging and both at the point of purchase.
When you're saying on the packaging, what do you mean by that? Right? When I get a phone, it comes in a box. You're saying it's not in the box itself? It's not printed on the box?
Excuse me, gentlemen. I'm reading the bill.
I'm just about to refer to it.
The language of the bill says, on the exterior of the cellular telephone's packaging or on a label attached to the cellular telephone's exterior packaging. So it comes in a box or one of those very annoying plastic containers that you can't ever open up without
a machete. It's
on the exterior packaging.
And it's also on the retailer's thing, has to have the presentation on. And I'm saying, why do you need both?
Right. And, Senator, I think the question is there. And if you're,
so again, we
witnesses want to speak to that when they testify, they'll certainly have that opportunity.
And as the chairman has pointed out, it gives the manufacturer the option on the packaging, which would be in the interior of a box, or a label attached to the exterior packaging. That would be left to the manufacturer. And then the purpose, as I just described to you, of benefit to a consumer who may not see either of those prior to purchase, and quite honestly might want to inquire before I make the purchase, given that the interior message will vary from model to model and manufacturer to manufacturer. If they see it on the wall prior, could ask the salesperson, this phone says I should keep it 2.2 centimeters from my body, this one says I only need 1 cent. There's, again, differences, and they could compare before they make the purchase. So I have the environmental working group, Renee, with my great one.
We have two witnesses.
Why
don't you go first, please?
Sure.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chair and committee. My name is Renee Sharp. I'm a biologist and the California Director for the Environmental Working Group. And I want to start, actually, by answering Senator Lowenthal's question. When I think about this, I think one of the reasons why it's so important to have it at the retail level, and in addition to on the box, is that unlike most products, where when you're going to a shelf and you're looking at, you're deciding when you're going to buy it, you're actually looking at the packaging, you're looking at the box.
Right.
But cell phones, in general, are actually different than that. Usually when you go to, say, an AT&T store, as I did when I bought my cell phone, which I love, I don't actually have the box in front of me. What I have is the phone, and I have some information, the technical specifications about the phone. And so I'm not actually making my purchase decision based on the packaging. And so, you know, I got my box, and of course I had already bought the phone, so I just, you know, opened it. So I think that's one reason why I think it's important. So I just want to address that first. Second, I want to emphasize, as Senator Leno said, that this bill is not about a question of whether cell phones might cause health effects. This is actually not what this is about. But I'm going to read a statement from Dr. Joel Moskowitz, who is the director for the Center for Family and Community Health at the UC Berkeley School of Public Health. And he released a statement last week. And it starts out with him talking about the science, and I'm actually giving it mostly as context for the second part of his statement, rather. So Moskowitz states, quote, although we do not yet have conclusive evidence, ample research shows it demonstrates increased health risks, including increased risk of tumors of the brain and salivary glands after 10 years of cell phone use. There is also evidence of short-term health risks, for example, sperm damage. This is the part that I want to state here. Based on our review of the research, our primary recommendation has been to maintain a safe distance between your body and your cell phone whenever it is turned on. You're exposed to 100 times less radiation if you keep your phone 10 inches from your body instead of an inch. So this is an important point. The amount of RF energy that's coming out of your cell phone changes dramatically over short distances. So you might think, okay, well, I have the phone an inch away from my body. You know, is that going to change at 1%? And in fact, it's quite significant. It can change, you know, 2, 5, 10, 15 times just over a course of an inch. So this is important because when Senator Love was reading some of these statements that are in cell phone manuals about how what distance that you need to keep the phone away from your body so as not to exceed the FCC exposure requirements, that's important because if you actually keep it directly next to your body, for example, just in your pocket, which is something that I think a lot of us do, that you are actually exceeding the FCC standards. And I want to read an excerpt from the FCC's statement, or FCC's document that basically describes this. So this is the FCC's words. In order for users to be aware of the body-worn operating requirements for meeting RF exposure compliance, operating instructions and caution statements should be included in the manual. The information should allow users to make informed decisions on the type of body-worn accessories and operating configurations that are appropriate for the device. So here's the situation that we're in. These types of statements are in the manuals, but of course, how many people actually read their manuals? Almost no one. So we're in a situation where we have this device that we all use, including myself, and in normal use operations, basically putting the phone in your pocket is basically exposing you to forcing you to exceed FCC exposure guidelines, and we feel that that's pretty important information that people should be aware of.
Thank you for your testimony. Next witness.
Thank you, Senators. My name is Ellen Marks. I'm with the Environmental Health Trust. SB 932 directs us to the truth about safe use of this valuable technology. As you can see, I still use one. My husband didn't have the right to know this. Instead of attending our youngest child's college graduation 3 years ago today, my husband was handed a death sentence in Walnut Creek, a malignant brain tumor, exactly where he held his phone for 20 years, just 1 hour a day. How could they hide required FCC safety distance data in tiny print if you see, along with the line, reduce the amount of time spent with your phone on your phone, while giving you and your children free, unlimited minutes? This is deception. Since testifying to Congress, I have been contacted by many others who feel that whose doctors have attributed their cancers to cell phone use. Many have breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and prostate cancer from carrying the phone in their bra or their pockets. These mentioned below held the phone to the head where the tumor developed. Dan Brown, whose wife Mindy is here with us today, she drove up from Fresno. A feisty Fresno State football coach and father of six went from knocking fullbacks on their rears to praying with them to be strong as they watched him die from brain cancer at age 50. Paul Pershman of Los Angeles, father of two young girls, 6 and 3, died from brain cancer at 41. His neurosurgeon, the renowned Dr. Keith Black, chief of neurosurgery at Cedars-Sinai, told him that his cell phone was the culprit, as did he tell other patients, including famed attorney Johnny Cochran. Rich Farber, a 28-year-old student, graduate student at San Diego State, could not be pulled from his phone and died of brain cancer. Dr. Tanawaya of San Diego attributed Rich's cell phone use. Brett Bocook, 43 years old and an attorney from Palo Alto with a 5-year-old, has stage 3 brain cancer after 2 decades of ipsilateral use. Mike Rivera, age 50, dad and principal of 2 schools in Clovis, has stage 4 brain cancer. Vibrant Andy Solomon, 43, of Fresno, father of 2 darling girls, spent hours as a commercial real estate broker on his cell phone. He is dying from stage 4 brain cancer. My neighbor, who refers to remain anonymous for business purposes, is 58, father of two, and he too is dying from ipsilateral cell phone use. Brain cancer attributed to that. Sadly, Milton Marks III, 50, son of the late California senator who served the Senate here for 30 years, is an outraged civic leader in San Francisco, and he has stage 4 brain cancer with children age 8 and twins 4. The Chronicle quoted him Saturday saying, "I find it strange that people are so afraid of the cell phone industry that they don't stick up for what's right." Had these people seen this advisory at point of sale, they would not have risked their lives. Please stand up for the right to know so others being exposed now will not have to suffer. And I thank you on behalf of everyone. And I would like to say one thing also about what Senator Lowenthal said before. Renee is right. When you go to a store, the boxes aren't out for you. And oftentimes, my family and I, when we buy the phone, the retailer or the salesperson will take it out of the box for us, put the SIM card in, and we don't even take the box. So it gets tossed, so we don't even see it. So this is a simple disclosure that is well needed, and I appreciate your concern. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Do we have additional witnesses in support? Please come forward. Folks, what we're going to do is we're going to ask you just to give your name, your organization, if any, and state your support position. And we really are going to ask you to just limit it to that, please, but we want to record your position. Please.
Hi, I'm Mindy Brown. The first picture in your book is my husband, Dan Brown, and his MRI. And I'd like to also address your question.
I apologize, but we are trying to limit the conversation. So I think we got two very thorough responses to Senator Lowenthal's questions. If you just give us your name one more time and your opposed position, or your support position, rather, excuse me.
Mindy Brown. I'm just saying, if I would have seen a label like that, if my husband and I would have seen a label like that, we would have looked further into it. Because as consumers, we assume that a product is safe. We shouldn't have to dig around for something.
Thank you for your testimony.
Cynthia Franklin, I'm in support of the bill. I just wanted to add that this is an FCC requirement that the safety information be disclosed.
Ma'am, thank you for your time.
And it's not a federal exemption.
Stop, please. Yeah. Folks, I understand that some of the folks who are here are relatively new to this process. We want to make sure that your support or opposed position gets heard. But as Senator Leno knows, we've actually provided more time than is ordinarily the case. And now I need you to respect the rules of the committee. Senator Leno, anything you can do to exhort your supporters to stay within those boundaries would be appreciated.
I would sincerely ask my supporters to please follow the chair's suggestions.
Thank you. Welcome. Next witness.
Thank you. James R. Johnson, 10 years in the antenna industry. It is about the antenna and disclosure. I'm in favor of the bill.
Thanks. We're getting closer with every witness. So.
My name is Jenny Shaw. I'm a mother, and I'm in support of the bill.
Thank you.
Tony Stein, in support for our children and the youth that use it so much.
Thank you very much. Okay. Do we have any, before we go to Senator Stricker, do we have any other witnesses in support? All right, before we go to witnesses in opposition, Senator Stricker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me first and foremost say my heart goes out to the families, everybody who's here. Obviously, a lot of times when we get information come to us, we get conflicting information. And that's why I want to ask Senator Leno. I mean, I'm looking right here. It says the World Health Organization said to date no adverse health effects have been established for mobile homes, mobile phone use, sorry. And then, different issue. The U.S. National Cancer Institute has saying the suggestion that using a cell phone may increase a person's risk of developing brain cancer is not supported by a growing body of research on the subject. The National Institute of Health has said there's little or no evidence to suggest that cell phone usage is associated with brain tumors or any other adverse health effects in humans. And here's one that really caught my eye. And Senator, again, we, as you know, always get conflicting information from different organizations and different research. But this one actually has a chart. And I'm sorry, I can share this to you after my... It has a chart of... growing cell phone usage among people. It's dramatic, right? But then brain tumors is flatlined. So if there's such a dramatic increase in use of cell phones, why is the brain tumor not following? If it's because of the cell phone usage, why is the flatline and not growing with the amount of cell phone usage? I mean, those are the kinds of questions, and this is the one chart that really caught my eye, and I was just wanting you to respond because you asked to vote on this legislation.
As I said from the outset, I didn't want to get into a debate of science versus science, but just to respond, and I will answer your second question as well. The interphone study is the one that is referred to often. There's a Time magazine piece that says cell phones and cancer, a study's muddled findings. Even the consumer health information from the FDA in its piece says, quote, there are still questions on the effect of long-term exposure to radio frequency energy that are not fully answered by interphone study. That's our federal government. And then, interestingly, it says how to minimize radio frequency exposure. It says, although evidence shows little or no risk of brain tumors for most long-term users. You can see there is no definitive information one way or the other, which is why the bill is now stating just two things. This device emits radio frequency energy, which no one doubts, and consult your user's manual for additional information on safe use, so that users can know exactly what the manufacturers are all saying, which is out of concern for health, keep it a certain distance, speak into the phone, don't put it to your body or brain, text as often as you can. So that's why we've limited the bill to what it is, because we don't need to have science versus science. We know there's an issue. If there weren't an issue, there wouldn't be a limit that the federal government has set at 1.6 watts per kilogram. So we know there's an issue. We want to be as factual and non-debatable wording the bill as possible, which is why it is merely just two sentences. So consumers can, should they decide, pursue more information by reading Yodel's manual or studying any of the other information that's out there.
Second question. I mean, I know you don't want to go through science, but
Could I answer that one?
Yes,
I have a few responses. In terms of why you're seeing the first response is, we're not saying that's definitive evidence. That's number one. Number two is why we should potentially be concerned, even though we are seeing, brain tumor rates basically being the same, and yet we're seeing this huge increase in cell phone usage. One is that there's a very long latency period for brain tumors. I mean, 10 years is short, basically. So 20, 30, 40 years for brain tumor latency period is very common. So, for example, when you have tobacco, lung cancer also has a long latency period, but not as long as brain cancer. And when we had the spike in tobacco usage
Sergeants, could you deal with whoever's out in the hall for us, please, so that we can hear the witnesses? Okay.
When there was a huge spike in tobacco use after the First World War, there was the increase, the number of lung cancer rates actually stayed basically flat for many decades, and you actually didn't see an uptick in lung cancer rates until 30 years after that huge increase in tobacco usage. So, actually, I'm not surprised by that. I would be surprised if we saw something different.
But again, going to the chart, I understand that, but you have dramatic increases 15, 20 years ago. I mean, if it's a 15, 20 year, you're saying now it's a 30-year window, because again, it goes way back and it becomes dramatic 15, 16, 17 years ago, and it has flatlined.
Since you asked that question, part of the issue is that we're not talking about acute effects. We're talking about effects that over long-term years. So imagine hypothetically, if you had effects that showed up after having 10 years of exposure, okay? And then, and then there's also a long latency period for brain cancer. So, honestly, I mean, with that really long time lag, you really wouldn't be seeing a big uptick now.
Senator, excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt. Again, there's no need to get into this debate.
Okay.
I just refer you to all of the forewarnings in the user's manuals which we are referring people to in our notice. That's all it is. People can use it as safely as the manufacturers themselves are telling us to, so that we don't exceed exposure to radio frequency emissions greater than what the FCC has recommended. That's what's in the user's manual. That's what we want people to make use of. And that's all we are.
Okay.
Nothing more than what the manufacturers themselves have said.
Okay. I'm just concerned that we're looking at going in a very costly, but you can't put a price on someone's life, and that's why I opened with that. But when World Health Organization and all these different organizations say...
Well, the manufacturers themselves say.
Okay.
That's all we're referring to.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Senator Blakeslee, did you have a comment or question before we go to opposition?
Yeah, maybe just a brief comment. I think I actually had a similar line of actual questions, similar to what Senator Strickland had, but I think we kind of worked through that line, so I'll go ahead and abandon that. And actually ask this question: would the amendment changing the warning, I'm not sure it's a warning now, it's an alert
disclosure.
I obviously, we live in a Prop 65 world where every building we walk into has another warning label. And I guess one of my concerns is the degree to which we desensitize people when there are so many things we do want to sensitize people with regard to what risks are. Obviously, with a pack of cigarettes, we've gone to great lengths, and we don't we go to great lengths. We put on the package, "This will kill you," in effect. And it's more than a disclosure. It's more than a disclosure. But I'm starting to wonder what really is the public policy benefit if we alert people that it emits radio frequencies and they should read their manual. But if we did something similar for virtually every other retail product we have and put labels on a whole spectrum of products telling them they could look in their manual for how to not electrocute themselves when they plug in their TV or fill in the blank. Are we doing the public a service by labeling everything, and do we instead produce the opposite outcome, which is people become desensitized and lose their ability to discriminate what is a risk and what isn't a risk? And that's, maybe you could speak to that concern I have.
I certainly can, and I've given this a lot about myself. In fact, I was getting on an airplane just the other day in one of these accordion devices that gets us from the terminal onto the plane. And as I'm standing there 4 feet from getting onto the plane, I saw a Prop 65 notice, and I thought, which said the fumes I did taking in could cause cancer. And I said, well, thank you very much. And I support Prop 65, but I thought, thank you very much. There's not much I can do about this. Different from the cell phone. Completely different from the cell phone. Because with this disclosure, I, as a consumer, can decide how I and my family members make use of this device. A new device, which we do not yet know, one way or the other, what in fact the long term, and I'm talking long term here, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, especially with children, we can't know definitively. So until then, given that the manufacturers themselves are telling you how to use this more safely, so you don't exceed the federal limits, we just want people directed to what the manufacturers themselves are saying. So, should the consumer decide to or not, they can know what the safest use is. And to get to your other point, with regard to plugging in a television or any other product, I would argue strongly that we're talking about a unique consumer product. There is no other consumer product, the use of which is increasing so exponentially throughout this country, hundreds and hundreds of millions of people now, and not just using, but using it intimately on their body, next to their brain, for extended periods of time. I don't believe there's any other product out there like that. And so given the uniqueness of this particular consumer product, and the uncertainty of what long and very long-term use can be, and that we can change our habits per the manufacturer's suggestion if we direct consumers to it, that's what this bill does.
Thank you, gentlemen, and thank you to the witnesses. Thank you to all the witnesses. I know many of you have come a long way and waited a long time. Could we hear now from opposition, if we could ask Senator Leno's witnesses to step away for the moment, and we'll give you equal
full access when the time comes for further conversation. And why don't we again ask a couple of witnesses to take the lead, speak for 3-4 minutes. I think we went to about 4 minutes with the previous witnesses. And then we'll hear from others who have a support or opposed position and ask them to try and keep their remarks limited to identification and their position.
Good morning, Chair and members. Steve Carlson for CTIA, the Wireless Association, the trade industry organization for the wireless industry and handset manufacturers, Apple, Google, Qualcomm, etc. I'm going to make a brief opening statement, and then Mr. Snowden is going to be amplifying it, and Ms. Johnson for the retailers. For a bill that is, according to Senator Leno, not about health issues, we heard an awful lot of testimony on that. On that subject, and I don't think it's an issue that we can avoid, you know, addressing if the chair is okay with that. We believe that the information that has been promoted by the sponsors of the bill really has been taken out of context. Mr. Snowden talked about that, a compliance measure by the Office of Engineering Technology from the FCC, not a health statement. We believe it would be a huge policy mistake, even with the bill in the form that it is now, to question the safety, which in fact this does, which certainly is the intent of the proponents, in light of the huge economic benefit that has flowed to the state of California from this issue. Again, Apple, Qualcomm, Google, carriers, software, hardware manufacturers. This committee has distinguished itself by promoting policies that follow the science. Follow the science on things like climate change. Against sometimes other areas, other administrations that perhaps were skeptical. We would suggest that by following the science in this instance, there's really only one conclusion that can be drawn, which is that the suggestion that there should be a label that questions the safety of this product is a bad idea and should be opposed. I'd like to introduce Mr. Dane Snowden, who's Vice President of State and External Affairs for CTIA, for our testimony.
Thanks, Steve. Mr. Chairman of the Committee, it's good to be back with you again. As Steve said, I'm with CTIA, and I'm a former Chief of the Consumer Government Affairs Bureau at the FCC. We are in opposition to wireless industry to this bill, SB 9932. When you look at the science of the issue, and I think you have to talk about science, particularly since we're in front of this committee, in 1996, the FCC adopted RF safety standards for the wireless industry. These standards were very helpful in establishing what the guidelines should be for everyone. And in doing so, they specifically set a specific absorption rate of 1.66 watts per kilogram. And this was a 50-fold safety factor to ensure that there was never a problem. So they did two things. They set standards, and they set a 50-fold safety factor for the industry to follow. The FCC said in their own statements, there is no comparable group of experts in which to consult or rely on when they base their standards, talking with the EPA, the FDA, OSHA, and other organizations. Now, we heard a moment ago from the other witnesses that this was not, we shouldn't be talking about science, this is not a debate about science. As Steve said as well, they did a lot of talking about science, but I think one of the issues that is raised in this is, what does the science say? And I think, as some of you said, here's the FDA. It says here, no evidence linking cell phones is to risk of brain tumors. That's FDA saying that. On the Interphone study that was brought up, it says here, results of this study did not show that cell phones cause brain cancer. The issue that we saw a moment ago with the chart the senator brought up here, this is a 25-year synopsis of what's been going on with brain cancer and cell phones. And so when you look at this issue, the FCC stated that the scientific evidence does not show a danger to any users of cell phones from harmful exposures, including children and teenagers. So you have leading experts looking at this issue. You have leading government agencies looking at this issue, and they're studying it and looking at the science every single day and every single time something comes out. We feel there is neither a need nor the authority of states to regulate in this particular area. We're also concerned that the warning label, and that's what this is, a warning label. And if you heard the testimony, I believe the sponsor said, the quote, uncertainty of what we don't know. Well, FDA, the FCC, the World Health Organization, the National Cancer Institute, they seem to know something. And my question is, what do the sponsor and the advocates know that these organizations don't know? if this is not a warning label, then the question is, why are you doing it at all? Because the information is just purely informational. If it is a warning label, what are you basing the science on to make that determination as you go forward? We believe that this warning label contradicts the scientific consensus. Now, there's been talk about what's going on, what happens in our manuals, and I think it's a great point that needs to be discussed. I hold in my hand here OET Bulletin 65, Part C, on page 41. It goes through the compliance process that the industry must go through when we certify our phones. The header to this section is called Recommended Test Positions for Body Worn and Other Configurations. So this is our compliance document that the FCC established to ensure that we're following the rules to make sure the products are safe. The interesting part is you go through and peel the onion back a little bit. It sounds as though we are complying with what the FCC says we should do, and that is in turn being used to determine to justify making a warning label. It's circular, but it doesn't make any sense. When you look at this, it is a compliance statement that recommends wireless devices manufacturers print in their device manuals to show that devices comply with the FCC protocols. And it says, when testing wireless devices in a body-worn configuration, the FCC states that, quote, should be tested with the belt clips and holsters attached to the device. The separation distance with the belt clips and holsters attached to the device, the separation distance, excuse me, in the manuals accounts for the distance provided by the test accessory. So, when you hear the point...
I just want to warn you that you're at risk of using up all the time here in the next couple of minutes.
I will sum up by saying we think that you should vote no on this bill, and we're concerned about the fact that this is not based on science.
Thank you. Next witness, who's got a couple of minutes left.
Sure, I'll be brief, Mr. Chair. Missy Johnson with the California Retailers Association, and we are opposed to the bill. We agree with the previous testimony that the warning is unnecessary and misleading. This bill puts the onus for compliance on retailers and makes the retailer responsible for ensuring that a manufacturer's product is labeled in compliance with the law. We believe this responsibility is misplaced. Additionally, we have to ensure there's a label at the point of sale in both our stores and on our websites. And as you all know, today phones are sold in many locations, ranging from large electronic stores to small convenience stores such as 7-Eleven. This labeling requirement implies that they are selling a dangerous product when in fact they are not, and it puts the clerk in a position of potentially giving the consumer erroneous information. Also, the bill creates potential liability for small and large retailers alike, who may have times when a label falls off, even if the manufacturer places it on the label, or if a point of sale label is inadvertently misplaced. And to Senator Blakesley's point, many products that we sell come with various warnings on the label or on the user's guide. Anything from irons to itch creams. In the retail environment, our customers would be extraordinarily confused if we had to post each of those warnings at the point of sale, and our retail stores would end up looking like a NASCAR driver's suit, and consumers would be confused and possibly afraid. For all of those reasons, regrettably, we have to oppose SB 932. It's unworkable, and we urge your no vote. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Could we ask others to be very brief? We're going to give you a little, the first three or four of you, we're going to give you that one-sentence flexibility that the previous witnesses took, and then we're going to go to a hard name, organization, support, or oppose. So,
Mike Ropes on behalf of Qualcomm, which is a wireless technology company based here in California. Qualcomm believes that the only purpose that this bill will serve is to create fear and uncertainty amongst consumers, and that will eventually just be hurtful to the wireless industry, which is really a California-based industry.
Thanks. You for your testimony.
Robert Callahan with Tech America, representing 1,200 technology companies nationwide, and we are opposed to the bill.
Thank you. Next, please.
Mike Grogi with California Manufacturers and Technology Association, strongly opposed.
Thank you.
Bill Devine with AT&T, we oppose the legislation, and I will take the liberty with that one sentence, Mr. Chairman. One concern we have is the point Senator Leno just made moments ago, and that is this label may stimulate conversation in the retail establishment. Can you imagine the burden of trying to educate all salespeople, whether they be at 7-Eleven, Radio Shack, Walmart, Costco, etc., about the pros and cons and what the warning may mean?
We're going to thank you, Mr. Devine, for that run-on sentence. Thank you very much. Next witness.
Mr. Chairman and members, Kara Bush with the California Grocers Association will also oppose for the reasons previously stated.
Next witness.
Michael Beckley with Verizon Wireless in opposition to the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Ann Perkins with Sprint in opposition to the bill. Thank you.
And Susan Lipper with T-Mobile USA in opposition. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Do we have any other witnesses in opposition? All right. If not, then the matter is back before the committee. What I'd like to suggest is we see first if there are questions or comments from members of the committee. Then if Senator Leno wants to respond specifically to some of the issues that were raised, either to complete information or to rebut, then one more check-in with the committee before we go to a final close. Senator Lowenthal.
These have to do with the opposition point of view, and I appreciate, because I raised the question earlier, where is the best place for the disclosure? But I heard from the opposition, this is a warning label, it's misleading, it implies a dangerous product, it creates fear and uncertainty, this is a warning. That's not what the bill does now. I mean, I think we need to talk about the bill. I appreciate there may be some issues that are raised in terms of, but this bill is now just clearly states what's in the user's manual. That's all it says, your own product. It says that the device emits radio frequency energy. That is nothing wrong in saying that. That's what the device does. And to consult your user's manual for additional safety guidelines, if you don't like the wording of that, you can change that. But that just says consult your own manual. This thing that this is fear mongering, I think you are creating fear, the opposition.
Whoa.
That is not to say,
One moment. If it happens again, the sergeant at arms will ask you to take the exit. That's not the way we run this committee. Everybody gets hurt. Everybody gets a fair shake. We don't either boo or applaud to intimidate witnesses while they're here. So, again, I understand your enthusiasm. First and final warning, Sergeant at Arms, if it happens again, please escort folks out the door. Senator Lowenthal,
I did not support this bill in committee last year because I thought it was based upon the science. And I agree with the opposition that that kind of linkage without true scientific data, as Senator Strickland has pointed out, it is beyond what I was prepared to do. And I told the author that also. And it was very encouraged that it's now just telling the consumer what they should do. That's it. Just consult your manual about the best way to use this device. That's it. And that it emits radio frequency. That's it. I do not see this as anything to do with warnings or health issues, because the people who are going to buy this were not sitting in this room today. They're just reading the label. That's all we're saying, what's on the label. And I think that there's enough evidence to suggest that people should read the label and read the user's manual, and that's all it does. If you don't like the wording of it, or if you think it should be done in a different way, that's another issue. But to claim that this provokes fear, I think, is way over the top and is not appropriate to the way the bill is written now. That's the way I feel. And I still have the same concerns that I had before, that to imply causal relationships oversteps the bound. But to ask people to look at the user to figure out the safest way, when the manufacturer himself or herself put it in the manual, I think that's fair.
Senator Leno, I'm going to let opposition witnesses respond because I think they've essentially been asked, how can you make this argument when this, that, or the other applies? So I want to give them the opportunity to respond. Gentlemen, would either of you like to respond?
Sure. Thank you, Senator. Mr. Chair, regardless if we agree or disagree on the fact that we think this is a warning label, and we never use the word fear, just for the record, sir.
Witnesses, did you heard that?
I never used
it. You called it a warning label.
That's exactly what we feel it is. We think the FCC is the right body to actually address this issue. They have not decided to do that, and we think this is a step too far for what's happening. And I'll point out one other
thing. That may be true. And I think that's a legitimate discussion. I don't think so, because I don't think it really is a warning label. It's just a disclosure.
Well, it will conflict with what the FCC has decided not to do, which is to do what you're suggesting, put a warning label or an advisory, whatever it is that this is. In addition, where does it stop? Cordless phones, radios, televisions, microwaves, all emit radio frequency. Is this committee suggesting do the same for all of those products as well?
As long as the manufacturers are including in their user's guide ways in which are more appropriate ways to use the thing to say on to indicate that you should, these are issues that you should look at this and to see what the manufacturer themselves has said is the best and the most appropriate way to use it. I don't have a problem. I'm just telling you why.
So our compliance with the safety standard is the reason why we should go forward with an advisory or warning.
I think transparency is the best defense that we have.
And we also think science and facts are also.
I'm not saying we're not raising any of the scientific issues. I disagree with all the issues, and I agree with you that we should not be raising those issues about the science. But there are issues about appropriate use of the phone that the manufacturer has said themselves. I see no problem in saying that.
All right. Let me see first if there are other comments or questions from Senator Lowenthal, and if not, then I'm going to go to Senator Blakesley.
Just to clarify, the FCC and the manual identifies what are safe practices, correct? Actually, what they're doing is saying how you should test this product. This is a compliance document about testing. What you have what Senator Leno mentioned before, he said the space, the distance between, for example, 1.5 centimeters, or could be That is how the product was tested with the belt clips, or, for example, with the head, is the spacer put
in. And is it because, now, were those identified as the modalities for testing because and proper use because other approaches were found to be unsafe or demonstrated scientifically to cause cancer?
I think it's a question for the FCC, but I believe the answer to that is question is no.
Because I think that gets to Senator Lowenthal's sort of underlying concern is if there's a safe way to use a product and there's an unsafe way to use a product, then we should notify people this will be sure that you will not face increased cancer risk, but this other approach may produce a higher cancer risk.
The issue is that is not how the product, why it was being tested. The reason the information is in the manual.
And I think that's my point, is that there is no body of evidence saying if you used it in this other way, there is a safety risk, therefore alert the public to be sure to use it this way.
You're absolutely correct. In addition, I mentioned before there were two things the FCC did. They set a standard, and they also set a 1.6 watts per kilogram safety level, so 50-fold safety level.
But you'd agree that if there were an unsafe way to use this product, you'd want the public to know.
Absolutely.
But there is no unsafe way to use this product.
Or the FCC.
Except maybe if you're texting
in your car under
if I could
Senator Smithian would be maybe unsafe and costly.
Okay, bring in from the Federal Communications Commission Office of Energy and Technology, evaluating compliance with FCC guidelines for human exposure to radio frequency electromagnetic fields. On page 41, it says, quote, in order for users to be aware of the body-worn operating requirements for meeting radio frequency exposure compliance, operating instructions and caution statements should be included in the manual. So this is the FCC talking to manufacturers. The information should allow users to make informed decisions on the type of body-worn accessories and operating configurations that are appropriate for the device. So the FCC has directed manufacturers to share with consumers of this product how to use it so that they meet the FCC limit for exposure to radio frequency energy. If they do not follow the recommendations that the manufacturers have put into their manuals, the FCC is saying consumers may exceed our recommendation for limits for exposure to radio frequency energy.
Well, that's through the chair. Your follow-up question.
Well, I think this gets to the very heart of the underlying question, is whether or not there's a safe method for using the product, and if you do not use it safely, and you use it in an unsafe manner, something bad will happen from a health perspective. And I've not yet heard any testimony that suggests the latter is the case.
This might help you. This is from the BlackBerry Torch. I'm reading from their manual.
And you're going to have to help me, excuse me, bear with me, because the type's a little small. Use hands-free operation if it's available, and keep the BlackBerry device at least 0.9 inches from your body, including the abdomen of pregnant women and the lower abdomen of teenagers when the BlackBerry device is turned on and connected to the wireless network. For more information about carrying your BlackBerry device, see the holster information in the additional safety guidelines section of the document. So they're getting so specific as to forewarn pregnant women and the abdomen of teenagers. This is very specific use.
Thank you, Chair. And that goes back to my question. Is that because there's been evidence that using it in this way that BlackBerry described can produce cancer?
Well, I think the FCC has not required that type of language, one. And all the scientific data we have in our fingertips from the FDA, the World Health Organization, does not suggest that. And again, Senator Leno, his advocates, our folks, none of us are scientists. Well, actually, one of us is a scientist, a biologist. But based on the science that we have in front of us today, a 10-year interferon study that was done with 13 countries, they concluded that there is no scientific link to pregnancy.
I'm going to go to Senator Strickland next, and then I've got some comments and questions that I'm going to offer as well, if that works for you, Senator Leno. Senator Blaisley did the follow-up, because I was going to ask Jim, because I cut him off, to go through the chair, but you followed up, and so I'm okay with that. Thank you. Is it Mr. Snowden?
Yes.
Thank you. Could you recap for us what the FCC requirement is? Did I hear you say there was an FCC requirement?
Right, there's a standard for RF emissions, and that's what the FCC has outlined in their OET bulletin that both the Senator and I have been outlining.
And I guess the question I have is, if they have a standard, then they've chosen to address the issue because they think there is some question or issue that needs to be addressed. So while reasonable people could clearly disagree about what the science shows, I guess what I'm having trouble understanding is the argument that you're making, which is there is no issue here because the FCC has clearly chosen to address this as an issue worthy of their consideration. They've got a standard. They've got you made the case. I thought it was an important point that there was a margin of error essentially 50-fold.
Right.
But my point is that if there is a margin of error 50-fold, now we're arguing not about whether there's an issue, but about how serious an issue it is. And I think that's an implicit acknowledgement that there's an issue. And please feel free to suggest to me where the flaw in my reasoning may lie.
Well, I think with all due respect, I think the flaw is in the fact that you're assuming that the phones are getting to a point well above the full safety factor, which has never happened. And that is important because that's why how we comply with the FCC standard based on the information here.
No, let me interrupt and make my comments clear. And at this point, Senator Leno, let me just tell you where I am on the bill. I don't think you can say there's no issue here. I think what you can say is there's an issue about which reasonable, well-informed, highly educated people disagree. And so then the question is, well, given the lack of clarity to date about what the science tells us, what do you do about that? And my own view is that you give the consumer the information he or she needs to make an informed choice. This may seem an odd analogy, but Senator Lowenthal and Strickland and Blaisley and Ms. Fabley know I've been working to date without success on a product ingredient bill. I call it the What's In It bill. I am trying to get manufacturers of household products to tell us what's in their product. Not because I think every ingredient is a problem ingredient, but because I think when someone buys a product off the shelf, they ought to know what's in it. And then if someone says, you know what, I don't have a problem with any of those things, they can go about their daily business. If others think there's a problem, they can take whatever steps they think are appropriate. But we can only let the market work, and we can only allow consumers to make good choices if they're informed consumers. So, while I might have been uncomfortable with the language as it was originally drafted, if essentially this is a heads up to the consumer that there is, in fact,
it seems to me we let different consumers make different choices, and that's what the market's about. And I guess the only other observation I would make is, I think we also have to recognize that different folks have different degrees of sensitivity or vulnerability to particular environmental health issues. So if they want to exercise greater care, let them exercise greater care. But again, they can't do it if they're not on notice. And I think if the Senator's bill reached a medical conclusion or health or environmental conclusion that I didn't think was supported by sound science, I'd have a problem with it. But if the Senator's bill says, there's a debate going on out there, I want you to know about this issue, and I want you to make an informed choice as a consumer, when clearly there is a debate going on out there, and clearly the fact that there's a debate has been recognized by the FCC, then I'm hard-pressed to understand the argument, Mr. Stone.
I
would disagree with your last statement, particularly among the scientific community in the governmental bodies who are responsible for doing this. There's no debate with the FCC. There's no debate with the EPA. There's no debate with the World Health Organization. There's no debate with the National Cancer Institute or the FDA.
Well, now, let me interrupt you again and say, so tell me why your manufacturers have put this information in their brochures. This is
to comply with the FCC standards.
So your argument is that the FCC has promulgated standards. Why, if there's no issue?
Let me read what the FCC says in their fact sheet here. It says, all cell phones must meet the FCC's RF exposure standard, which is set at a level well below that at which laboratory testing indicates and medical and biological experts generally agree adverse health effects could occur. So the FCC is not saying that they believe there's a problem. That is clearly what it says. This is the FCC fact sheet.
Then
on this issue,
then why does the brochure go beyond that? I mean, it seems to me that the difficulty here is that your folks are trying to have it both ways. You're telling folks in the brochure that they ought to engage in a certain kind of behavior for their own health and well-being. But then when Senator Leno tries to make sure that they have that information, you say, well, there's no issue with respect to their health and well-being. And if it's in the brochure, then you know, candidly, what I'm wondering is there in order to avoid liability if and when a problem does arise?
There was a big laugh when I said to comply with the FCC standards, but that is why it's there. If you read the OET bulletin, it clearly states what we're supposed to say, and it gets even suggested language.
I'll tell you, this lady on the
language that, and this is helpful, thank you. It's the language that Senator Leno read us earlier, drawn directly from the stance.
Some of that is in here, right? So for body worn operations, quote, for body worn operations, this phone has been tested and meets the FCC. RF exposure guidelines have been used with the blank manufacturer's name, accessory supplied, or designated for this product. It goes on, and there are several examples of how you should explain what body worn means, and even gives a place where you can actually put a specific distance.
But then if it's in your brochure because the FCC told you to put it there, your argument is we don't want the consumer to see the language that the FCC wants them to see.
No, that's not accurate at all. Our argument is that if anybody's going to do anything on this issue, it should be the FCC, not the state of California.
Okay. We, I think, have had a robust discussion. Any other questions from members of the committee? Senator?
I'm so sorry.
No, welcome.
I have to go to another meeting. And thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, because some of the things you just said helped to clarify, because I've been trying to think this through also over the weekend. And the analysis does say that other countries have given statements to consumers about how to handle cell phones. It says France, the United Kingdom, and a number of other countries. And I guess I would ask the author or the supporters if you had any examples of what those things say, because I tend to agree with the chair that we want to say something more informative than on page 20 of the brochure in tiny type that I can hardly read. It will refer to the fact that maybe I should hold it away from my ear for 2 inches.
Any hoodie.
But what that would be, so not to be alarmist or to
link.
encourage people to jump to scientific.
I think the one I have is a screaming one, but I'll find out.
Warranted, I'm not sure.
Mr. Sheriff, I'd like to ask our Senator Hancock's question.
Please.
So, I'll give you a couple examples, but the range of nations which have federal laws
that's funny.
With regard to notification disclosure. France, England, Switzerland,
from farther back,
European
out the very
member
front.
States, Germany, Israel,
yeah, you can hear that
Russia,
camera from my recording,
Israel,
remember?
Ministry of Health 2008 recommendations limiting children's use of cell phones, using wired earpieces, avoiding cellular communication
in
closed places, such as elevators, trains.
I wanted to put it,
French,
I put it in my headphones.
Federal government
still
has
so
the following disclosure
like
requirements.
But it wouldn't record if I put in my headphones.
Point
I couldn't figure out why.
All
so
public communication,
all my
whatever
settings,
the means
and
of support,
I can't record stereo anymore. I couldn't record stereo for years, and I finally got to do it, and now I don't know what the fuck I did.
Cell phone by children under 14 years of age would be prohibited sale or free distribution of products containing radio frequency devices and aimed specifically for use of children.
It's interesting that Lori sent me a link for that audio recording program she was talking about.
Another disclosure, radio frequency devices
that would be connected
to a public cell phone service provider may not be sold without an accessory device that would allow limiting head exposure. So you get a sense of the kinds of messages that are in 13 other countries. Again, at the federal level, not at the state level.
I don't have to worry about I'm using all freeware right now.
Was there any country that required what you want to require, which is basically a printed statement in the store?
So many people are putting nice speakers.
A printed statement that?
Like the cell phone people?
Yes, this language from France is for point of purchase in the store.
Okay.
Finland has, quote, it would be good to restrict children's use of mobile phones. Quote, precautions recommended for children
was,
as all of the effects
the solid
of the
waste one. One of the senators said something about indemnification.
Rather,
he explained
text messages
that better to me.
So
and he was so obnoxious when he starts explaining what indemnification
what
is.
Tell
and then she's like, that's not what I'm asking.
Straightforward,
do you not know what it means? And he was like, really patronizing to the senator. And I'm like, no freaking way.
Does seem rather calm when you put it that way. But I also thought just the simple advice of don't carry it directly against your body or hold it away from your ear and watch out for kids, for young children was fairly straightforward too. I guess I wanted to ask the industry, so what do you suggest? That nothing at all be said about this thing? Wouldn't it be better to say don't hold it directly against your body instead of, say, just to get an SAR number?
I would say for the last part of your question, Senator, the answer would be no, because I think that's not based on any scientific fact.
You can hold them against your body and against your ear, even if you're a 6-year-old?
When it was tested by the FCC, what they do is they test the head and they put a spacer for the ear with the assumption that it will be pressed against the ear. So that's how it was tested. So therefore, we think it's okay to do that. But to your first part of your question, we go back to, as I think as Senator Leno mentioned, I believe only France is actually the only country that's done what you described, and the country did that, not an individual city. And I think our issue is, if anybody's going to do anything, it should be the federal government, not California.
Okay, that's a basic difference philosophy then.
Absolutely.
I think between many of us, so much innovation and steps forward have happened at a local, regional, or state level, that's kind of how we make progress sometimes.
Mr. Snow, before I go to Senator Lowenthal, I think, to make sure I got what you said right, while we're having a great deal of debate about the statement and what it does or does not represent, I understood you to effectively make the case that any statement really suggests there an issue. Where in your view, there is no issue. Is that a fair characterization?
According to what the science is and the FCC.
Right. And I think that's a...
Go ahead. I'm being very clear because there are times when what I say is taken as, this is what the industry is saying. And I'm very clear to say this is what the science is saying and the FCC are saying.
I heard you earlier in your testimony essentially make the argument, look, we can
fine-tune the language all we want, but implicit in raising the issue at all is some suggestion that there's a problem where, in your view, the science says there is no problem. And I'll tell you, as elected officials, there are sometimes things that are raised in newspapers, and we ask ourselves, tell me why that's being raised when it's not an issue, and if you put it in the newspaper, it is an issue. So I get the argument you're making.
And the sponsor actually said, quote, uncertainty of what we don't know. I mean, so it sounds like it's meant to be a warning.
Senator?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think this is a very good discussion because we're trying to find a middle ground that does not frighten people or imply anything that's not real and what's appropriate for the state of California. I just, more recent, is the new BlackBerry, and everybody has BlackBerry, hasn't hurt their sales, hasn't done anything. The latest BlackBerry safety and product information manual, right there under that first major thing on page 3, it's called Important Safety Precautions, and I'll read, this is the latest one from the library. When you wear the BlackBerry device close to your body, use it a RAM approved holster with the integrated belt clip, or maintain a distance, pretty much, of 0.98 inches between your BlackBerry device and your body while the BlackBerry device is transmitting. Use of body worn accessories other than the approved holsters with an integrated belt clip might cause your BlackBerry device to exceed radio frequency exposure standards if the accessories are worn on your body while the BlackBerry is transmitted. Now this is what I think is the long-term effects of exceeding RF exposure standards might present a risk of serious harm. They're much further than this bill is doing. We're not trying to scare people. We're just saying reach a manual. They put it out. I'm just saying I think we can worry about or work on the language. But to say to read your manual is not a fear technique.
Is that closed, Mr. Chair?
I think unless there are comments or questions, this would be a great time for a close, Senator.
Great. Again, thank you for your generosity of time. Slight this bit of disingenuity here. If there is no science concern whatsoever, there would be no limit to the amount of radio frequency energy that a phone could. The fact that there is a federal limit states there is a concern. It is illogical to say anything else. Point of fact. A warning label says warning. An advisory label says advisory. This bill does neither. It says this device emits radio frequency energy. If someone wants to argue that, let them do so. The FCC would argue wrong. Please consult your user's manual for additional information for safe use. I would suggest that the industry needs to get ahead of this rather than drag behind it. I agree with Mr. Carlson, who said the economic benefit of this product in this industry to the state is significant. There's a way to even augment that benefit by being forthright with consumers. Senator Lowenthal's questions initially after the presentation was really my close. When there were suggestions, the comments said, quote, suggest that we are selling an unsafe product, or quote, creates fear and uncertainty about the product. It's just not the case. And so I thank this committee for working with me and my sponsor to refine the plan so that it is just the statement.
Maybe it was all the photos.
Because otherwise we can go round and round and round. Mr. Snowden referred to the FDA consumer health information, no evidence linked to the risk of brain tumors, but in it themselves they say, quote, there are still questions on the effects of long-term exposure to radio frequency energy that are not fully answered by Interphone study. So there is uncertainty. For whatever their reasons, I won't attribute reason, have included the user does not exceed the amount of radio frequency radiation that the federal government has limited in its law. I think
can't say much more. I would ask for your high vote.
Members, we have a motion on the bill as amended. Pathley moves the bill as amended. I think we're all clear on the language of the bill at this point, members. Yes? Okay. Call the roll.
Senator Simidian?
Aye.
Simidian, aye. Strickland? Strickland, no. Blakesley? Blakesley, no. Hancock?
Aye.
Hancock, aye. Kehoe? Lowenthal?
Aye.
Lowenthal, aye. Hadley? Hadley, aye. For aye, two, no.
Senator Leno, you have sufficient votes for the bill to move out of committee. However, we'll hold the roll open so that absent members may cast a vote. Thank you to witnesses again on both sides for what was a very thorough discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members.
If we could get your quiet on the way out, please, and if you could move out as quickly and quietly as possible, we're going to need to lift the call for other members. I'm going to do that twice, members. Senator Lowenthal, Senator Pavley, we're going to lift the call on all three bills so that the six who are here can cast their votes, and then we'll hold the roll open for Senator Kehoe, who I know is also dealing with a challenging schedule. So we're going to ask the staff to announce the vote and call the absent members. Agenda item number one, SB 582.
The motion is due pass as amended. Current vote 2-0. Chair and Vice Chair have not voted. Senator Simidian? Strickland? Strickland, aye. Blakesley? Kehoe? Hadley? Hadley, aye. Yes.
And the voting message is?
4-aye, 0-no.
All right, thank you. We'll keep the roll open for Senator Kehoe if she can return in the next 10 or 15 minutes. And we've got a call out to her. Yes, Sergeant. Thank you. Replace the call there. Item number two, SB 841.
The motion is due pass as amended. Current vote 4-0. Chair aye. Vice Chair aye. Senator Blakesley? Blakesley aye. Hancock?
Aye.
Hancock aye. Kehoe.
SB 841, Wolk.
Kehoe, aye. That's 7-aye, 0-no.
That bill is out. Sergeant, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you if you can quiet the crowd. So that brings us to third and final item, SB 932. This is the Leno bill. Senator Kehoe, the bill's been amended. The language on page 2 of the bill, which I'm going to share with you, has been amended to omit the second sentence, and the language now reads, this device emits radio frequency energy. Consult the user's manual for additional information on safe use. Let me ask the staff to hand that very quickly to Senator Kehoe so she can see it.
I think they are.
Thank you. Call the absent members.
The motion is due pass as amended.
Current vote is?
Current vote is 4-2. Kehoe.
We'll go right back, yes, ma'am. Let's announce the final vote on item number 3.
Final vote is 4-2.
Vote is 4-2. That bill has sufficient votes. It is passed out of the committee as amended. That's item number 3. Let's open the roll one last time on item number 1. That's SB 582.
Current vote is 4-aye, 0-no. Senator Kehoe. Kehoe, aye.
That bill passes 5-0. That bill is out. Members, I believe that completes the agenda today. Without objection, meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.